offered me a full cup of coffee. And I heard from Mercy that she also got similar offers from many. Okay, so thank you. But if you weren't here the first week, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. So we'll find that out later. Okay. I want to quickly recap what we talked about last 2 weeks. First week as an introduction, we consider the interesting fact that the Bible, it starts with a marriage in the book of Genesis, and the Bible ends with a marriage in the book of Revelation. And really, the story of the Bible is the great bridegroom preparing a bride for him, and what it took for him to accomplish that great act. And I also pointed out that there are two very unique institutions that God designed, and they are the marriage and the church. And what God designed, God regulated. And marriage and church both are highly regulated in the Bible. And if we do this in our way, instead of the way God designed it, we do this to our own peril. And we will only have us to blame. So when a marriage fails, it is not God's design that failed. It is we that failed because we wanted to do it our way. Second week, we looked at the difference between a consumer relationship and a covenant relationship. You know, in a consumer relationship, our need to get a better deal is more important than the relationship itself. You can walk away from a consumer relationship if the relationship is not, if it's not meeting your need, or if you find a better deal somewhere else, like our grocery store, grocery shopping, we are free to find another source to meet our need. Our need has more importance than the relationship itself. But covenant relationship, it is dramatically different. It is radically different from a consumer relationship. As a matter of fact, you can say that it is exactly the opposite in one way. Here, the relationship is more important than your individual need. You know, in a covenant relationship, even when it is not meeting your individual need just the way you like it, you're not free to walk away or try to find something better deal somewhere else. And marriage, as I stressed last week, is a covenant relationship. You know, because on the wedding day, we make a covenant to each other before God and witnesses, and certain promises we said that we will keep. And we also noted that a covenant has terms, but it also has penalties. And when we make a covenant, we are agreeing to some terms, and if we break the terms of that covenant, there will be penalties you cannot escape. You know, we looked at the ancient culture, and from Genesis, we saw a covenant ceremony. In modern times, when we write a contract, there will be terms and conditions and penalties will be specified for breaking that contract, and both parties will sign the contract. But in the ancient cultures, they communicate the terms of the covenant, but they act out the penalties of breaking that covenant. And from Genesis, we saw a covenant ceremony where animals were cut in pieces and they were placed one facing each other. And both parties will walk through the middle of these animals, the cut pieces, and saying that, what they are saying is, if I don't abide with the rules, with the covenant, with the terms of this covenant, let me become like one of these animals that is cut. Okay? Let me be just like these animals if I do not keep the terms of that covenant. You know, I also pointed out that even though we do not make married couple walk through the middle of cut animals these days after a wedding ceremony, even though they are making an incredible promise to each other that day, but the effect of breaking that covenant is very, very real. An incredible brokenness will penetrate the life of those who break the solemn vows. An incredible sense of going to pieces. Incredible mental, emotional, physical brokenness will be unleashed into the life of people who consider the promises that they made a very light thing. Look at the life of anyone that is going through a divorce. And I know several at my workplace that are going through divorce, and I can see the anger, the rage, the mental anguish on their faces and the way they act. So divorce is the ultimate abandonment of the covenant that you took that day. To the degree to which you move away from the covenant, to the degree to which we break the covenant, that will be the degree to which our life will be broken, will be cut into pieces. So today, I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, today is Father's Day. And so I'm going to talk to the husbands and fathers. Okay, but it doesn't mean sisters can just tune out. Okay, you may have something that you can use. All right. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Husbands, love your wives just as. Okay. Some other translation, it might say, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Another portion I want to read is Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. We read like this. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. You might be wondering, what is the connection here? What is the connection between husbands love your wives, and the portion in Matthew where we see enter by the narrow gate? Hopefully in the next few minutes, I want to make the connection and see what the Lord is saying here. You know, in this portion, here we primarily use it in connection with the gospel. You know, two roads that leads to two destinations. You know, narrow road and a broad road. Narrow road is the Christian gospel that there is only one way to God. You know, you can broad-minded in your thinking and say, well, there is a lot of different ways to go to reach God. You know, people have different faiths, but it all leads to one place. But the gospel says, no, there is only one way, and that is through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a narrow road, okay? There is no broadness is allowed in that thinking. But there is an application here for the believers. You know, William MacDonald, in his commentary, Believer's Bible Commentary, put it this way: the Lord here warns that the gate of Christian discipleship is narrow and difficult. But those who faithfully follow his teachings find the abundant life. Okay? So this portion is applicable to discipleship and Christian life, all different areas of our life. Narrow is the gate. You know, the word narrow has a negative connotation, isn't it? A negative undertone to it. If we say somebody is narrow-minded, what we mean is they just see something in one way, you know, and not open to looking at things in a different point of view. They cannot see beyond their own set of values and will not accept them. It is always a negative thing. Then why would the Lord use such a word to explain the life he wants us to follow? Why the Lord use that kind of a term? You know, narrowness is suffocating. You know, a lot of people are claustrophobic, like when you get an elevator, because of its narrowness, isn't it? The space, it's so narrow. Narrowness can be suffocating. It can be confining. Somebody put it this way: when we step on a bug, why does the bug die? Why is it crushed under your feet? Because of narrowness. There's no space for it. So when I drive, you know, I like highway any time to a narrow road, you know. I remember going to the state of Maine last summer, and my wife wanted to see a lighthouse up close. And so I kind of put the general direction in GPS and start driving. And I soon find myself driving through miles and miles and miles of narrow, winding road. And after a while, I was aching for a highway, you know, at least a wider road. You know, narrowness is not something that we prefer. But the Lord here is saying that narrowness is the way to broadness. And broadness is the way to narrowness. There is a reversal of values in the realm where God operates. There is a reversal of values. In the kingdom of God, there is a reversal of values. You know, in Matthew chapter 20, remember the Zebedee's mother came to him and she told him, you know, grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand, on the other on the left in your kingdom. And what did the Lord say? He said, you know, that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So there is a reversal of values in the kingdom of God. When we read the Sermon on the Mount, you cannot miss that characteristics. Word values, this world values power. Christ values servanthood. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those meek. Blessed are the merciful. There is a reversal of values. The world says broadness is the way to go. Christ says narrowness is the way to incredible broadness, incredible satisfaction, and incredible joy. Now, how do we apply this to our marriage? You know, regarding marriage, one of the counselors put it this way: marriage almost all the time starts with an in love high, during which time both partners feel profoundly loved by the very presence of the other. But eventually that high wears off, and then love must become a deliberate choice. The love must become a deliberate choice. You know, we are living in a society, a culture that is extremely individualistic. It is completely focused on the individual. We feel that in this country that nothing should stop you from pursuing what benefits you. And nothing should come between you as an individual and your wishes, your ambitions, and your goals. You should be free to pursue whatever that makes you happy, bring most advantages to you. But after the high period of marriage, even marriage becomes a hindrance to your personal ambitions. Why? Because in our fallen nature, even after we become children of God, we are incredibly selfish. Incredibly selfish. Inconveniencing yourself for your husband or for your wife seems incredibly narrow, incredibly suffocating, incredibly costly to you, because it might take time away from doing what benefits you as a person, as an individual. So the Lord is saying here that unless you experience the narrowness, you will never enjoy the broadness of experiencing what marriage is all about. Narrowness in marriage is nothing less than sacrificing of yourself for the sake of the relationship, just as a covenant relationship requires you to do. It is nothing less than the sacrifice of yourself for the sake of the relationship. It is letting go of your selfish ambitions and ask, what is my part in nurturing this marriage and this relationship? You know, you have heard often it is said that marriage is hard work. Why is it hard work? Because, as I said, we are extremely selfish and incredibly obsessed with ourselves. And the more selfish you are, the more obsessed with you are yourself, and the need for your own gratification, the harder it will be for you to be sacrificial. The more selfish you are, the harder it will be to be sacrificial for the other person. You know, that is why marriage can become a hard work. Yet, you have to do it. If you want to experience the broadness, if you want to experience the abundant joy a marriage can bring to you, you have to experience the narrowness, the demands a marriage is going to place on you. But, you know, sometimes you think, it is too costly for me. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes the will to let go of some of my personal interests for common good. It's too costly. I'm not ready to give up that much. Now, if I ask you, is $300 expensive? Is $300 expensive? Well, it really depends on a factor, isn't it? If it's for a toothbrush, you say it's very expensive. $300 is very expensive for a toothbrush. Only government agency can afford those prices, right? But suppose you were shopping for a new car, and so you went to this car dealership, and the salesman is going to come to you and tell you, hey, look, we are running a special today, and you can have this brand new Ferrari for $300. What will you say? Will you say it's too expensive for you? Even if you only have, even if you don't have a single penny in the bank, what will you tell him? Tell him, don't give it to anybody else. I'll be right back. All right? You will go and find whatever measure you can take, get $300 and come back and buy that Ferrari, a $200,000 Ferrari for $300. That's a good deal, right? You know, what the Lord is saying here is what you are sacrificing, the little inconveniences you may have to encounter in your married life is peanuts compared to the incredible place the relationship can get, the incredible joy a relationship can take you. Your inconveniences is absolutely peanuts. Okay? It is, you will be spending just $300, but in return, you will be riding a $200,000 Ferrari. Are you interested? That's my question. Okay? Do you still think it is too much to ask from you? You know, let me take you to a place called Calvary. There was a man that was hanging between heaven and earth. His hands and feet were nailed to the wooden cross. The blood was pouring from his wounds. A crown of thorn was pressed against his head. And people were standing around and mocking him. Let's ask him why he is standing there. Why is he going through this sacrifice, a suffering? Why did he come down from the cross like they asked him to? He said, this sacrifice is because I want to have a relationship with them. That's why he went through that sacrifice. You know, he went through the narrowness that actually crushed him. He died under the narrowness because he wanted to bring us to a relationship with him. You know, we read he was despised, rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Let's ask him why he's doing this. Why is he not coming down? He will tell you, it's because for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Here is a man that experienced incredible narrowness. He literally crushed him to pieces. And he said, I am a worm and no man. You know, he said, I'm a reproach of men and despised by the people. You know, why is he going through incredible narrowness of sacrificing himself? The greatest sacrifice anybody could ever do. Because he wanted to make sure that we will have a relationship with him. You know, he considered having us for himself far more precious than the excruciating, agonizing, unbearable cost he had to pay to secure it. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You know, it doesn't say there for the joy that was set before him, enjoyed the cross. It doesn't say that. But he endured the cross. You know, sacrifices are not pleasant all the time. But if you want to enjoy the broadness of a relationship, you must endure the narrowness of personal sacrifice. But what you get back will make up for what you have sacrificed and a thousand times more. You know, husbands, I can assure you that we will never ever be called to go through the narrowness Christ went through. You know, he is our standard. He's our standard. No sacrifice was too big to have the relationship. You know, if we read, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. But what happened? God highly exalted him. Remember, the broadness that he is enjoying is because of the narrowness that he went through, the narrowness that completely crushed him. You know, I read the verse from Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives just as, or even as, Christ loved the church. And what did he do? He gave himself for her. My question this morning is, are we willing to go through the narrowness of the demands of a marriage so that we will also be brought to the extreme broadness of a marriage that God intended for us? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before thy very holy presence. And Father, we are considering, we are thinking about some things that are extremely important in our lives. Father, the relationship that we have with our husbands, with our wives, are extremely important to you. And Father, when we consider this, when we think about these things, our standard is that great bridegroom, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is preparing a bride for himself. And he gave everything he had to secure the relationship, even to the death on the cross. Father, help us to examine ourselves. If we are proud in our heart, if we are not ready to let ourselves go for the sake of a marriage relationship, we pray that they may humble us, that we may look at the cross and see, Father, the sacrifice is the way to joy. Giving ourselves away is the way to incredible entrance into the joy of a marriage relationship. Help us to realize, help us to consider this of great value in our lives so that we may, Father, have a relationship in our marriages that thou would intended us to have. Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for each and every believers here. We pray for any who are sick, any who are traveling, all, we commit them unto thee. We commit us unto thee for the next 1 week, Father, as we engage in our daily activities, that we may be ever be mindful of the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And Father, we commit our time into thy mighty hands and pray this in the very precious and holy name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.